All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewer's Pizza. Derek and JK3 here. The worst thing that's going on right now with the Jags is we got flexed out of primetime. And Marone is happy with that. He feels that we don't deserve to play on primetime Sunday. Me neither. I don't think we should be playing either. You know, we've embarrassed ourselves the last two times.
I saw a meme that that had Smokey from Friday and said, "How'd you lose Sunday night on your week off?" Hey, man. That's what
you get fired for stealing some boxes for.
That's it, man. The funny thing about teams and us wanting to have the Sunday night, the primetime games, it's like, all right, we finally give you one. We give you a primetime game. You know, we give you, you know, everything that you're looking for, everything that you've been shouting for, and then you come out and drop four in a row. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. Nope, you got to have when the spotlight's yours, the spotlight's there, you got to take advantage of it, and you got to be able to do it. So, I mean, hey, man, that's just what it is.
Yeah, the biggest thing, too, is the fact that the issue hasn't been addressed and everybody under the sun, and you shouldn't listen to everyone, okay? Coaches shouldn't listen to fans. They shouldn't listen to the media. They shouldn't listen to any outside influence of what's going on in that locker room. But when everyone is on the same page, it's kind of tough to come by.
Yeah.
Getting into it, we got the Colts up this week. This is a must-win game for us.
If there hasn't been a must-win on the schedule, this is it. Like, this is literally it right now. Because, I mean, I am literally one loss away from rebuilding or one loss away from just pretty much losing it on this season and kind of cashing it in. Simply because with the Dante trade, like, and getting trades for the future, it's like, okay, are we teetering on that win now level, or are we picking up draft picks? I don't know, man. But this, like you said, must win.
The biggest piece of this is the fact that being 3-5, the Texans have won 6 straight. So what? They're 6-3 now.
Bro, that's wild.
They're pretty much running away with it. We've got to win. We can't lose any more games. We can't lose any games in the division whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Definitely at this point, playing for the wild card, unless the Texans have a monumental collapse. They've got to find a way to do it. And I think it starts with just the basics of what the offense is built to do. And that's run the football. Right. We have to find a way to do that. Fournette's practicing. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. What can we do?
We got to. I mean, it's got to be one of those things now where we run the football and we literally cram it down your throat. That's the only thing that's going to happen, because we ran the ball against Philadelphia. 31 straight plays, I think it was. 31 straight plays, and it literally it amounted to nothing. So Fournette's back right now. We're going to have Carlos Hyde. We're going to have TJ Yeldon. So we're still going to have a pretty deep backfield right now. But it's literally, you got to run the football right now. Fournette's back. You need to feed him the football. You need to literally feed him, establish the run. Because as we mentioned last year, year before last when we started, the only way to really open up this play, the only way to open up the passing attack for this team is to establish the run. We don't have a quarterback that is in the top middle tier of the NFL right now. We have to establish a run, and we have to get teams in there. We've really got to go out and use Norwell. We've got to use, you know, some of our best players now for the last 8 games. They got to string together. They got to get hot right now. That's what's got to happen.
And you said that we ran the ball for 31 straight plays. Basically what he meant, guys, is we threw the ball. We ran 31 straight passing plays. Yeah,
that's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah. Just so people don't get that confused. Offensive line's banged up, obviously. Linder, you know, out. Norwell, you know, out. Parnell banged up. We're you know, bringing in Flowers. We started at a 10-11 man rotation at offensive line. We're down to 8.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's big. No depth. When you look at the whole thing, we really got to come together as a unit. The Jags have to come together as a unit and try to make this work, try to get some holes open. Eric Flowers, step it up, man, because if you don't do it here, you might be done.
Right.
So, you know, I get you came from New York, and that's where you started in this transition and learning the plays and all that. Just maul somebody. Even if you get a couple holding penalties for driving somebody into the ground, I can live with
for
that
sure.
as a fan.
For sure.
Yeah, I can live with that. So, you know, Tyler Shatley, you know, I don't know if we bring him in. He's always done very well as a serviceable backup. He's always done well as a starter, period. So they just need to find a combination of guys that want to go ahead and decide that we're not going to let anybody get to Bortles. Mm-hmm. We're going to open up some running lanes. And we're going to be prepared to mash.
Now, when you mentioned running the ball too, I think we Blake, you still need to run the ball also. you still need to be out there in an RPO. You still need to be out there, or excuse me, just in our run option. not even passing, just a run option. You need to get out. You need to get some play action. For the life of me, man, I don't understand why. Maybe it's because the play action hasn't been the running, or maybe the running game hasn't really been set up. But when we were at our best, we still weren't play action that much, right?
Yeah.
We still didn't play action. Yeah. We still didn't really get him out in the space and like that bootleg where he can kind of run and actually get out and see the plays come across him. We didn't do a lot of that, right? No. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. Like, I don't get why they just don't do that and why he isn't in more of those positions where he can actually use his legs and take off instead of having to scramble to for his life. You know, I would much rather see a design play or a designed, you know, play or something like that. When does the tight end come back?
I think he's out 8 weeks. So that was what, week four? Week 12?
So he, maybe? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the biggest thing, too. There's two things that are wrong with that if he sprints out, if you do roll out or sprints out. One, he's not the most accurate guy in the world. So getting him to throw on the run versus standing still is going to make things worse. Two, he also can't read a defense. We talk about a lot of different people and some of your media members, some of your Twitter members trying to, you know, talk about scheme. So we'll talk about that a quick second without trying to really dive into it. When you roll someone out, you kind of run what's called levels. You have a shallow, a mid, and a deep. And the quarterback has to make a decision. Okay, well, if he's going to the right, which is he's right-handed, where are you going to go, shallow, mid, or deep? I can guarantee you 10 out of 10 times that a defense, if Bortles rolls out, they're going to play the shallow cross. It's all we run. The middle, yeah, it'll probably be open. And the deep route will be covered just for the fact that if they got lucky and scored a touchdown.
So they're going to make him now, they're gonna make him try to throw it in the middle.
Middle, yeah. They're going to try and make him squeeze him and make him throw it in the middle, which he'll either overthrow it or underthrow it or overthrow it. And if he overthrows it, then there comes the turnover. It's not really, you know, it's not, like I said, I'm no coach, but just thinking about it, now that you know that, what would you do if you're the defensive coach? Would you say, hey, I'm going to give him the throw he's comfortable with? No. Am I going to give him the easy touchdown throw? No. I'm going to give him the throw that, hey, see if you can make this 15-yard drag route and get it for a first down.
And if he makes it, okay, we gave up 15 yards. All right, we'll come back. Yeah. And odds are if he doesn't make it, then it's pick city.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or turnover on down.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So he's got to play within himself. We obviously know what that is. 25 times. He can't throw the ball more than 25 times or we lose.
Yeah, I agree.
I got no other way to put it. I know people want to see the high-flying offense. Where's the Bortles that, you know, played against the Patriots? He's long gone. Okay, that game is long gone. We got to run the ball. We need to run the ball at least 40 times.
I think they can, though. And, I really think they can run it 40 times with the amount of depth that we have back at the running back position right now. You know, TJ has been, you know, very serviceable. And like we mentioned, you know, a couple weeks or a week ago, that he's probably the offensive MVP. He's been doing what he needs to do to actually – you know, show that he's a back. I mean, show first, second down back at least. Carlos Hyde definitely got to get that out of him. Like, definitely have to get some type of production out of him. And if you bring Fournette back also, or when he does, since he is coming back this week, I can really see that. You know, I can really see that. That's coming out to at least what? Almost 12, 13 plays a back?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. If you average 13 carries for each back, I think that's something that's doable. But the amount of snap counts, is the offensive line going to hold up to that?
And you're right. That's a tough one because we just haven't been holding up well. Our injuries have really piled up on us. So look at it this way. If you ask an offensive lineman, would they rather move forward or go backwards? So if you move forward, you're run blocking. If you go backwards, you're pass blocking. I would figure they would want to move forward because going back, waiting for someone to come punch you, trying to get past you or spin move or, swim you is going to be a lot more tiresome than actually going forward, trying to mash and drive somebody into the ground. Right. And another thing, too, with the offense. There's an old Cowboys wide receiver. Everybody knows him, Michael Irvin. He's got a nickname called the Playmaker. We need somebody to step up and be the Playmaker. I don't care who it is, man. I don't care who it is. Just somebody step up and make a play. There was a game Texans played. I don't know if it wasn't Denver. There was a game they had a couple weeks ago I was watching, and the game was in overtime, and they had like 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 10. So Watson threw Hopkins like a little 6-yard little in route, and he made a play. He made two guys miss and took off down the field. And when he got up, you could see it in his eyes. He's like, yeah, okay, you got me the ball. Let's kick this field goal and get out of here. That's what we need. We need a player that's going to, hey, just give me the ball so I can get us in the position to make, what's best for the team.
Well, we know the playmaker is going to come from. It's going to come from Didi. Didi's got to have he's got to have a monster second half of the season. He really does. As far as someone being able to stretch the field, someone being able to come up and make him play, it's got to be DD. Then it's got to be Moncrief because he's got the most targets on the team. So and then it falls into it. Then it falls into Chark. I mean, you rookie or not? Okay, the first 8 games are out right now. You literally need to make a play right now and hold on to the football. If we do bring in a fourth, which will probably be Keelan Cole, if he even gets any more PT right now, he's got to hold on to the football, period. That's it. Like, some of the turnovers and some of the things that have happened aren't really coming from Blake anymore, but it's coming from some of the things that are being let down. Again, on the wide receiver core, drop balls, not running routes at the sticks to continue those drives. And really just those turnovers that really just shoot ourselves in the foot. Some of the things that Keelan has done, some of the drop passes that we had. I mean, if DJ Chark makes that catch in London, of course, ifs and whats, whatever. But if he makes the catch, that we're easily talking about a game now to continue. Can we piece this game together against the Colts to beat them? You know what I mean? To keep the momentum going, to keep getting hot. But again, 8 games left. You got to go at least 7-1, 6-2 in this next stretch. And honestly, I really don't think it can happen.
It's going to be tough because of the dissension amongst the team right now. Obviously, we know why. They're not going to come out and outright say it. But a lot of the guys don't have any faith in Blake. They've tried. They tried to back him up. They tried to be, good teammates. And you're supposed to continue to do that regardless of what's going on. But how can you do it when you've, got such a negative perception about someone who's not going to be there to go to battle with you? Now, he played okay over in London. He threw for a touchdown and what did he go, 26 of 41 or something like that. That's not what they're looking for. If he had 26 completions, he should have probably only thrown the ball 30 times. Those other 11 plays should have been something else. So that's what they're, some consistency, not leaving the defense out to dry. You want a defense to hate you, leave them out to dry a lot.
AKA keep them on the
pretty
field.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Keep them on the field, throw another pick in your own territory and have them go back out after they just got back off the field. On the defensive side of the ball, when are we going to win a battle at the line of scrimmage again?
It's got to be this game, right?
You would think.
The Colts, their offensive line is probably one of the worst offensive lines we've seen in a minute. And probably going to be – I don't know how they've put up. I know a majority of it is probably Andrew Luck. But their offensive line has been – either he's been making the throws and throwing his wide receivers open, or they've been making plays because their offensive line isn't really as, I mean, I know ours isn't good, but man, they're kind of banged up, and they don't really look that that good on their end either. So I think it would definitely have to be something where, you know, this has got to be it, where we have to establish, hold the line of scrimmage, and really kind of prevent Marlon Mack. I don't know what they're going to do against Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle.
2,100 yards, 23 touchdowns.
Yeah.
8 picks. Everybody knows that. You can all look up stats. So he's on pace to go for 4,300 yards, 46 touchdowns, 16 picks. For a team that's 3-5, no defense, one decent wide receiver. They got Marlon Mack, who's coming into his own as a running back. 200 yard, you know, two back to back 100 yard games, but that, you know, you got to show some more consistency before you're, you know, told that you're one of the backs in this league. Hey, they're doing it. They're doing it. If you were to switch and we took Luck and they got Bortles, we wouldn't definitely not be in the position that we're not in, but we are, you know, so you can't really do that. How do you stop this? Obviously, Luck's been throwing in rhythm. He's been, you know, playing well, completing 65% of his passes, which is good. So we have to get disruptive. And obviously that can, you know, include sacks, but they just have to get disruptive, whether if it's pushing, pulling, hitting, like something to throw off that timing. Because you can't cover forever, and our defensive backs aren't the healthiest right now.
I think the same common, you know, trend between the offense and playmakers is the same thing on defense as well. We were so successful last year because we went out and created those turnovers, and a majority of the time when we created the turnovers, they were either advanced, you know, to our side of the field to where we had a short field to work with. We were at least coming out with three. Or, you know, they were taken back for touchdowns. I mean, I think we only had that one with Miles Jack taken back, you know, scoring. So the defense has got to put us in better scoring opportunities. And I know that a lot of people are going to sway and say, well, it's not the defense's fault. It's the offense's fault. They're not doing this. Whatever, man. There's no I in team. There's no division of it. You know, it does stink to have the defense continue to stay on the field. I get it. But while they're on the field, they have to make the most with the plays that they are given. They have to get out. They have to shut down teams. They have to win the line of scrimmage. The linebackers have to, you know, to continue to make the tackles. And, you know, as banged up as the secondary has been, you still got to make plays. Just because you're banged up. I mean, you think other teams aren't banged up? You still got to make the plays. The next man up has to get in, and you still got to make the plays. In order for this team to be successful, there needs to be plays made on both sides of the ball. Someone's got to step up and make a play on both sides of the ball. Maybe that comes back with Fournette. You know, maybe the defense had some type of come to the light meeting in the bye week. But we literally need to start getting the push on the ball. The plays need to be made, and I think the W's will come after the plays are made. But are they going to be able to get together and make the plays?
That's a really good question. I mentioned before Marlon Mack, the Colts running back with the back-to-back 100-yard games. Darius, who we brought here to stop the run, has been a bit banged up. We're going to need him for this game. A lot of his success is based off of Andrew Luck's success to drive the ball down the field. When you look at the Colts passing attack, they don't dink and dunk. They don't throw – I mean, they'll throw a crossing route to feel you out to see what you're doing. But then around midway through the second quarter, you'll notice they start taking deep shots, kind of like Kansas City does, like big 20, 30-yard chunks. So when you have those safeties all the way back, that gives the opportunity for the running game to shine. And that's what has happened. And that's not taking anything away from Marlon Mack. He's done a great job, but we have to contain that. We got to plug up that running game and make them one-dimensional. We did a great job of that last year, making teams one-dimensional, and we haven't been doing that.
And the defense is built for playing with the lead, and we haven't had the lead at all this year also. So, I mean, the defense is it's like we really got to flip the switch and start playing to our strengths. You know, hopefully we can come back and continue to establish the run. I would be really surprised if Fournette was that big, if he's that big of a difference. You know what I mean? If we come back and he starts running the ball and starts gashing teams and everything, if he's that much of a difference, man, that's shocking. If the run game, if he sets up, you know, everything for the run game and continues to make it where Carlos Hyde is getting some burn and TJ Yeldon's out doing his thing, that would just be completely shocking to me if he comes in and teams have to really start respecting the run just because he's healthy.
And to backtrack a second here, I saw something on Saturday night with Leonard Fournette. I watched a little bit of the Alabama LSU game, and there he was on the sideline with his, you know, cool, you know, apparel, his number 7 diamond studded chain. You know, he's looking good. I'm going to remember that in about 2 or 3 years to see if he is still relevant in the NFL, because he's not working hard at all. He wants to look good. You know, he's Hollywood. I was talking to a guy who's a football coach here locally and at the high school level. And he made a good point, man. There was a play against Florida, and LSU was going in, and he was dressed and he was on the sideline. He had played, and LSU would have won the game. I don't know the outcome of the game.
Oh,
he
didn't play. I know the game you're talking about, when he came out and actually like dressed like he was going to play, but he didn't play, and Florida ended up beating him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm good. Yeah, I got this, and, you know, I got the draft coming up, so, you know, I don't want to hurt my draft stock. Man, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that story existed. I don't follow the LSU football all that well. But, man, that's bad. That's terrible. That's terrible, dude.
Well, he doesn't really have any fight, and he's not really showing it by now. If he's been rehabbing, I mean, he's been out for a majority of the season. If he's done his rehab and everything else like that, I get that. But if I'm taking my job as serious and preparing myself, you know, I'm getting every kind of treatment I possibly can, you know, somewhere trying to get this hamstring right, if I really want to turn the season around. If I really want the season to be turned around, you know, I'm watching the LSU-Alabama game at home. You know, I'm rehabbing in the morning or rehabbing, getting my hamstring right. Because if all the stuff that he's been talking on social media and everything, he's saying about this is about to be the best 8 games ever and blah, blah, blah. I really hope so, because we're going to have to win about 8 games in order for them to make things interesting in the playoff hunt for us. You know, that's just what it is.
And I get it's the bye week. You know, they were on a bye week. Okay. We understand that. But when you've been performing poorly as a professional, do you really have a bye week?
No.
Or performing at all? You don't have a bye week. No. You got to get ready. You got 8 games left to make something of this season and have some, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, the love of the game or you know, the money, but he's leaning more towards the money side of it than the love of the game side of it. That's just my opinion. I'm entitled to it. People may differ. People may agree. But as far as I'm concerned, he cares more about the money than the actual wins and losses.
We'll find out here soon, because the next 7 games are all AFC games, meaning we have got to win a majority of these games that I mentioned previously. Of course, winning the AFC South games, you know, that's a no-brainer. But you need to win your games, you know, number one, to be able to establish dominance in your conference, and two, just to really see it, to separate the contenders from the pretenders. I mean, you got Pittsburgh coming up, who's going to be a playoff team. You've got Miami, who's on the cusp of being a playoff team, and don't forget, you still got your Tennessees that you can't beat, who put up a pretty good, impressive W against Dallas on Monday night, which was crazy. And then you got your Texans rattled off 6 straight, and they're just getting better. So if this is going to be – if this is any type of uphill battle that I've ever seen, man, it's going to get crazy. I mean, we're about to find out really quick if this team is going to be, you know, anything or worth anything for the next, you know, half of the year. I'd be really interested to see – you know, really what they, if let's say they lose 2 games right out the gate, be really interesting to see. Maybe go 1-1, you know, 1-2, something like that. Be really interesting to see the morale and how this team really handles adversity. Because last year, the year before that, they did all right with it. Last year, you know, they had this moniker and this attitude that they're the new bullies. This year, right now, let's see how you act literally in diversity. If you could, and we'll see what you can rattle off here in this next last half of the year.
Real quick, going over the injury report that was last week's injury report. You know, Boye, Campbell, Darius, Fournette, Hayden, Herndon, Linder, Norwell, O'Shaughnessy, Parnell, and Patman. That's a lot. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of bodies, especially at the cornerback position. Yeah, you know, that's three corner. No, that's four corners. Four.
That's a whole second.
So that's why we kept getting beat last week.
Second or first string.
Yeah, you can't run. They can barely run nickel out there. So the injury bug has definitely really hit us. It's really done some damage. Some of those guys did play against the Eagles. Some didn't, but we got to figure out a way to get healthy, and hopefully the guys do it the right way and get back being able to be as close to 100% as possible. We're going to need some of these guys to pull out this W. Whether if it's Campbell's leadership, Darius' ability to stop the run, Fournette, going one of his long patented touchdown runs. We'll see how that works out.
I mean, it's really the turning point in the season. We're really going to try to take a look and see, where we're going. I've got a little bit of faith left. I'm really just here just to see some good football and really just – take a look and see what this team can do and some of the resolve. I'd be really interested to see, what type of adjustments, maybe any different packages they have planned with a three-headed, monster of a backfield that we have going on. And really just to step up and see what the defense is going to do, man. I mean, it's a really good time for them to continue to try to get things going, keep things going, and get us really primed up for the rest of the year, man. It could be, either epic fail or epic disaster.
Well, we hope it's not epic disaster. If it's epic disaster, then we're going to have a lot of mad fans around here. Hey, but if it is epic disaster, people, just look at it this way. If we don't make the playoffs, there's going to be some changes. Bortles is more than likely going to be on the team next year because of a contract. Will he be the starting quarterback? Hopefully not. If we don't make the playoffs, Caldwell is gone, in my opinion. I think we still, have Coach Marone, and Coughlin's still here. So it's a lot of you want to win, you want to see your team do well, but at the end of the day, we're playing the cards that we're dealt with. The team has done that, and they've done a courageous job because of the fact that no one expected them to not only do well last year, but have the hype to play this year or even be in any kind of conversation for being a playoff contender. Now, obviously we're not right now, but we have the potential to get there. And we haven't had that around here. So we'll see if they can, turn it around and fix it. That's all we got this week. You got any, going away thoughts and anything?
Man, I really want to look out to see how the Jags attack Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. I really want to see what they're going to do to try to stop that passing attack of the Colts. Luck is starting to come back and show some of the ways and some of the things of the flashes of old Luck. But historically, Blake normally has a good game in Indy. The team usually responds very well to things that are going on, playing against Indianapolis. And, it's just stopping the tight ends and seeing what we can do. But the defense has got to come out to play. And I really hope, the offense does its magic, man. I'm glad that the bye week's over with. I'm glad that I've got 8 straight weeks of football here. So either way, man, I'm happy. And really do appreciate, everyone that's listening to us and currently subscribing to us on iTunes. We really do enjoy that. If you are following us on Twitter, hit us up at Down by the Bank. You know, we love to take any type of questions or any type of interaction we can get from y'all. As again, keep leaving us 5-star reviews in Apple iTunes. The support has been awesome. And we really do appreciate y'all again for putting up with the inconsistency issues. I think right now we've got a recording path that's going to work best for us and to get out some quality for y'all. So again, we appreciate it. And we'll talk to y'all later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.